I'd like to take this opportunity in the reading of the law, which is always an opportunity for exhortation to us from God's Word. I'd like this occasion to share some things with you. Last December, our congregation took part in a special congregational meeting where we heard a report from our oversight regarding some difficulties that were dealt with involving some individuals in our church. Much of the problem at that time had to do with information being passed around that was not edifying to the body, more commonly known as gossip. This morning, your session would like to inform you that of some disturbing news. Your session has become aware of a reoccurrence of this problem taking place in relation to the River family situation. In response to this, I will take this occasion on behalf of the session to instruct, to exhort, and to admonish. If you would turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, I will use as part of our text for this address. Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load. And then turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. As members of the body of Christ, we are instructed in these two passages of Scripture to bear one another's burdens and to weep with those who weep. And so, as individuals, as well as a church, we share our trials and our sufferings with one another. In all cases, the purpose of sharing information about a person's difficulties, sorrows, sins, whether public or private, is to move us to prayer. In some cases, it calls us to counsel if we are given God's direction and God's wisdom. And in some cases, we are compelled or we are asked to share that information for the purpose of expanding the power of prayer. But never, never should it become an occasion for irresponsible discussion and gossip. It must never become a time for opinions and judgments about any individuals involved. It must not give way to the taking up of offenses on behalf of others, which usually go beyond the feelings of the primary individual and leads to the setting in of bitterness and prejudice. Instead of one's burden becoming the burden of the church, we have the problem of some becoming a church problem. Instead of identifying with the trials of others, which speaks of unity in the body, instead we repeat one another's sins, which leads to division. Clearly, this is not the intent of the Galatians and Romans passages. As a matter of fact, the writer of Galatians, understanding the potential of this sin, writes in verse 1, "Each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted." And in verse 4, he writes, "Let each one examine his own work, or his own heart, or his own intentions." Brothers and sisters, do not fall into this temptation. The goal of ecclesiastical counsel and discipline is to bring about reconciliation. In the event that there occurs the severing of a relationship due to sin, there is need for restoration. This is the gospel. This is the message of the gospel. Reconciliation. It is clear that this distortion of Christian involvement becomes a great hindrance in that process. It is an obstacle to the gospel. Romans 15, verse 1, instructs the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. This speaks of deference and forbearance, which is able to carry one along and give encouragement, rather than taking up an injury and then causing one to stumble. Brothers and sisters, if you cannot be a strong Christian, if you cannot be the strong Christian of Romans 15, verse 1, then do not force yourself to take up that position. This is not to speak ill of you, but instead it directs you to the very intent of Christian love and compassion, and that is to prayer to God, who is the source of that strength. To prayer to God on behalf of the one who is suffering. People of God, please ponder upon these things. Please consider what God is calling you to do in these matters. There is much, much more to be said in these matters of this subject, which time will not permit us to. But let me close with the reading of Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its weaknesses and lusts. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, we pray that you might speak to us this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that there would be a working in our hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit would move us to an understanding and to a desire to be faithful to you in each area of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.